2-2 pitch on the way. Cabrera takes strike three called, and the Giants have won the World Series in Detroit. And the celebration begins as the Giants mob the mound. Cabrera strikes out, looking to end it.
Welcome to the Exit Velocity Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Brent, and Zach is joined with me tonight. How are we doing?
I'm doing good, man. It's been a while here. This is the first time I've been on with you since baseball's come back, and it's been a weird week of baseball, and this might be the last few days of baseball. It's just a weird time right now, but good to be back talking baseball with you. How's everything on your end?
Good. Just recapping, still kind of recovering from when Jordan was here. Had a good weekend, opening day weekend. But today we have George Montanez from Roto Ranks, Bases Loaded, and he also writes for Fantrax and Roto Baller. How are we doing today?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. it has been a crazy 10 days. Where are we at now? Maybe 8 days of baseball?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, who knows how much more we have, but no, I mean, thank you. I mean, it's a pleasure to join you guys. I'm just glad to be here.
Yeah, we appreciate you hopping on. I know a lot of people in the industry know who you are, and I'm honestly curious to learn a little bit more of how you got started in the industry, and you've built up a brand with Roto Ranks, and you're also with Bases Loaded, and you write for multiple sites as well. How did you get started?
Well, to be honest with you, I joined a Dynasty Fantasy Football League with some of the guys over at Friends with Fantasy Benefits. And it was Colin Weatherwax, who was in that league, messaged me like just out of the blue, you know, if I wanted to get started in the industry. I mean, that, you know, Friends with Fantasy Benefits would take me on. And I kind of sat on it for a few days. I just wasn't sure, you know. I loved, you know, I had been playing fantasy baseball for a few years, and you know, I was really into it. And I thought, you know what, why not? Just one day, I was just like, why not? And so, yeah, I got my foot in the door there, and then shortly after, you know, I had material to show, and Fantrax, you know, put out, you know, they were soliciting some writers and put my name in there, and it was lucky enough to get, you know, taken on there with Fantrax HQ, and just, you know, went from there. Joined Zach and Mike over with the Bases Loaded pod. That's when I got started with podcasting. Mike was soliciting some co-hosts. And so, yeah, I messaged him. I saw him out there hustling, and I thought, hey, it'd be cool to kind of get started there with them. And that has gone really well. You know, Mike and of course, Zach here have been really cool, really good friends ever since. So, I mean, it's been a very welcoming, very good start in the industry so far.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I mean, it's going to that Bases Loaded pie. Listen to that last episode, and that was Hot Take Central from Mike Kurland. My goodness, drop Ohtani, pick up Savali. There was just so many hot takes there. I had to cool down while listening to that episode.
That'll happen when Kurland has a few drinks, though.
Oh yeah, I think you got him. Like we had him like right after he did that beer bourbon baseball. So, yeah, I mean, you know how Curlin can get without alcohol, you know. But put some beers in him, and yeah, that was definitely some hot takes there with that last episode. But it was fun. Always have fun with them.
Oh yeah, it's good stuff.
About those hot takes, that Ohtani hot take. I just need to say something about that, because I don't know if it was understood when we were talking about it on that podcast. So Curlin thinks that Ohtani is droppable. I do not think Ohtani is droppable unless it's a Yahoo league and you're just dropping the pitcher Ohtani. If you have Ohtani in any other format that gives you hitting and pitching stats, there's no way you're dropping him after 1 week of Ohtani. I just want to set the record straight on that, because I don't know if it was clear on that podcast, but I'm not dropping dual eligible Ohtani anywhere just yet.
I mean, he's coming back from that injury from 2 years ago. He's going to have to get back into game form. That'll take some time. But some of the hot topics that honestly been happening today, I mean, now the Cardinals have it. The Twins are playing right now, who just played the Cardinals. So that they just said, heck with it, we're going to play anyway. But now Yahoo kind of came out with this little post saying Rob Manfred said if the MLB doesn't get the coronavirus cases shut down by Monday, we might not have baseball.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah. It's brutal. That is brutal. Started with the Marlins and the Phillies and all these schedule changes and, you know, now the Cardinals. And, yeah, I mean, they're out there playing games right now. You know, the Twins are out there. They went and then they're playing the Indians. And, yeah, who knows, man? I think a lot – I think the rest of the season really, like, a lot of it is going to hinge on these next 2 days here, Saturday and Sunday, how things come out with out of the Cardinals camp. And, I mean, as long as we don't – maybe if we don't get any more positives and everything's clear with, you know, Minnesota, and hopefully we can salvage the season and they can put some stricter guidelines there with the teams. But it's just not looking good. It's pretty discouraging. We got baseball for a week, but here we are looking at a possible shutdown again. Yeah.
So over that past week, who do you – just from watching the games and seeing the teams play and the players – who do you think the best and the worst teams are so far in your eyes, George?
Oh, man. You know, the Twins have been absolutely, like, destroying the ball. You know, that we thought that offense was going to be really good. And, of course, it's been as advertised. They've been awesome. And then they're in the same division. The Indians, man, that pitching staff looks incredible. I mean, you know, that's a really good pitching can carry you, especially through 60 games. Indians are looking phenomenal with that pitching staff. And then, of course, the Dodgers, one of the deepest teams, I think, when you have guys, you know, in a short season getting hurt, you know, with not enough of a spring training or ramp up period and guys go down. I mean, depth is important. And they got probably the deepest team here in Los Angeles with the Dodgers. So, yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the Dodgers, the Twins, the Indians, of course, the Yankees, a very good team, the Astros. Yeah, some pretty good teams. And then on the other side, as far as worst, it pains me to say, but it's so hard to watch my Giants. They've got Mike Yastrzemski and I don't even know, a bunch of quad A cast-offs and who knows. It's, yeah, that team is rough right now.
Don't forget about your boy Dubon.
they're not even playing Dubon every day, and he's hitting at the bottom of the order. I mean, I'd love to see him get some more at-bats and get going. You know, that's another thing with this. You know, we're a week in, and we're seeing a lot of hitters really starting slow.
Yeah, I mean, right now, Christian Yelich is 1-for-26 or something. I just saw stats roll. He's 1-for-26. Donaldson's 2-for-23, and Donaldson actually got hurt tonight with a quad injury. But one guy with the Giants, though, that I watched opening day. Johnny Cueto looked good in those first four innings. I was pretty impressed by him.
Yeah, yeah. Cueto is actually someone I think, you know, the Giants could possibly get something out of if they were to maybe put him out there on the trade market. You know, I think he'd be perfect if he can continue, you know, pitching well. I think he'd be someone who they could probably look at trading, and maybe he's on a new team come the second half of the season.
Mm-hmm. Zach, who are your teams that have been that impressed you or haven't impressed you as much?
Yeah, I mean, George rattled off some of the big names there. Just a few other ones. Tampa Bay is a team that I have as a front runner to make some noise this season. Their bullpen. I mean, we were all expecting Nick Anderson. I know George and myself were very high on Nick Anderson going into the season. And obviously Nick Anderson is not getting the saves. I mean, there's just so many guys in that bullpen that are getting save opportunities. It was Oliver Drake, and then you got Castillo and Nick Anderson and Alvarado. I mean, there's just so many names over there. But, I mean, it's a good problem to have. Maybe not so much in fantasy, just in terms of the real world. It's a good problem to have all those bullpen arms. But Tampa Bay looks good. Cleveland, obviously, the pitching staff, Shane Bieber, just looking like a true ace right now. There may have been some doubters going into the season, but I mean, he really looks like a frontline starter over Clevinger and pretty much everybody else in the league right now. Some other teams, the San Diego Padres, a very young team. We didn't know if this was going to be the year that they kind of took off. I mean, it's still early. We're a week in, but I mean, they're 5-2 right now. They obviously have the Dodgers, but there's some other teams in that division that they could feast upon as well. So they are an intriguing team. And yeah, I mean, Who knows what's going to happen in that NL East? Obviously, the Marlins are sitting atop right now, but they've only played three games. Who knows what they're going to do? But yeah, there's some intriguing teams out there. Another team, the Tigers, they're 5-3 right now after a week of play. It'll be interesting to see if the Tigers maybe call upon some of those young starting pitchers between Manning, Mize, Skubal. I mean, I would just love to see a team like the Tigers or the Padres or just a young team like the White Sox, like somebody that really we're not expecting to make noise, just really go on a tear and make a playoff push here, especially with the expanded playoffs. It would be great for baseball. First of all, it would be great for baseball if we actually get to the playoffs, but it would be nice to see one of these teams just kind of make some noise and surprise people.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with all these teams. I mean, there's so many teams that are sitting like 500. They're 3-4, 5-4, 4-3. So we'll see what happens once these games get played out.
It's a little too early to react to all this. I mean, we'll revisit this in like a week or two when we actually have some more games under our belt. But yeah, it's tough to do this after just 1 week.
Yeah. Yeah, there might be a couple hot takes on the pod tonight, but the first person I want to talk about on the who do you love for the first week is my guy is Germán Márquez. He's pitched two great games with the Rockies. He's hitting 96, 97, and he's spotting the ball. I mean, his command looks excellent, and his curveball looks better than it's ever been. And my other guy would be Mike Moustakas. He's missed a couple games because of the COVID, but, I mean, he hasn't missed a beat. He comes back two games later and hits another home run. Who are your guys? Start with you, George. Who's your guy that you love this past week?
Oh, man. Corey Seager is looking like Corey Seager of old, man, before the injury. He's looking really good. You know, hit a home run, I think it was yesterday. I mean, it kind of started at the end of last year where it was looking like he was, you know, coming back. Took him a little while into the season, but it looked like he had, you know, started getting his legs under him and really getting on a roll. It's carried over into this year. And it looks like he's come back to pre-injury Corey Seager. He's looking really good. And then the other guy, Lance Lynn, has been carrying my fantasy teams, man. Lance Lynn he has been incredible. I mean, I've lost guys like Justin Verlander. You know, James Paxton wasn't very good, and there's concern there with the big velo drop, you know, after his back surgery. But Lance Lynn has really come through for me, and he's one of the guys who they're just letting go. I mean, he's throwing over 100 pitches, going out there and throwing over 100 pitches and getting into the sixth inning. He hasn't allowed a run yet, so I mean, there's going to be some regression, but he's come off like on an incredible start, similar like Bieber, but yeah. Lance Lynn has been great for me.
Yeah, he has really been a workhorse. Zach, I know you might just trickle in some Mets and say Rick Porcello's been your love, but after what he's looked like the past two outings, I don't know about that.
Dude, as we're recording this right now, the Mets are just blowing a humongous lead. So, God, this has just been a brutal week for the Mets. They're actually losing already. I haven't been watching since we've been talking, and they've given up three runs, and they're now losing. So that's awesome. But I am not going to be talking about any Mets right now because they just piss me off. But two guys that have kind of stood out to me, they're both on the same team here. One is Jose Ramirez. We've kind of hyped him up as a potential bounce back this year. He looked fantastic in his first week of play. Haven't really seen the stolen bases take off yet, but I expect those to come. And I mean, he's batting over 440, getting on base over 50% of the time. He looks great right now. Kind of looks like the Jose Ramirez from 2 years ago. So Ramirez looks great. And like we were mentioning before, best pitcher in baseball right now, Shane Bieber. He's just a strikeout artist. We haven't really seen the huge strikeout numbers from Bieber. I mean, he had a solid year last year, but I mean, he's just going crazy right now with these strikeouts. I think 27 strikeouts through his first two outings. That tied a major league record. He's getting it up to like 95, and he's got that pinpoint command. He just looks great out there. He really just looks untouchable, and he's just going to feast on that AL Central. And the Indians are going to be a very good team this year. I think a lot of people thought they may kind of take a step back this year, and this was going to be the Twins' year, but you guys are going to have a lot of trouble over there, Brent. with the Indians. This pitching staff, even with Savale and Plesac, just really looking great as the 3-4 guys. They're going to be tough this year, and especially if Ramirez can bounce back, this is going to be a dogfight till the end between the Twins and the Indians.
Yeah, the Indians are way better, in my opinion, than the White Sox. It's because of the pitching. The White Sox, I mean, they tried getting Gio Gonzalez. When Giolito got rocked, Gio came in. Gio got rocked, too, in that first game. But, I mean, these Indians, too, their lineup's loaded. They got Franmil. They got Domingo Santana. They got a lot of guys. They kind of been overlooked, but they'll definitely be fighting with the Twins all the way to the end. So more to the guys that they've looked pretty rough this past week. I mean, one guy that stands out because, God, I feel like he got so hyped up. Matthew Boyd, he looked terrible this past week in his two starts. I mean, his fastballs are sitting at like 94, but his off speed just kind of floats in the zone and gets hammered. What are your thoughts on Boyd, and who are your guys, George?
Oh, man. Yeah, I actually liked Boyd coming into this year, too. So, I mean, it's been matchups, too. Like, you know, like the Royals, where you want to start him. You want to, you know, be confident in throwing him out there. But a couple guys that have been pretty disappointing so far. Chris Davis out of Oakland, I know a lot of people were kind of hoping for a bounce back season from Chris Davis, but he is not looking very good right now at all. Has not had a hit yet. They've taken him out of the lineup here and there, and yeah, bounce back for Chris Davis just isn't looking too good right now. And I've noticed over the last couple of years, it's been a bit of a decline for him. Last year, his average exit velocity on line drives and fly balls was down. And, you know, he's someone who can't afford to lose that and can't afford to lose any contact. The contact has also been going down a little bit. So, yeah, he's just got that profile where a decline is not going to look good for Chris Davis. And it looks like that's where we're at with him right now.
Yeah, he's actually got benched, I believe, in two games already, too, since the beginning of the season. So, yeah, he's been struggling. Zach, who are your guys that kind of looking pretty ugly this first week?
I was going to agree with you about Matthew Boyd. He looks horrible, and I think he's droppable in fantasy right now. I mean, I really want no part of him. George, he was in on him this preseason. I actually have no shares of him. I just did not think we were going to see the Boyd, the first half Boyd of last year. I think he's definitely droppable at this point. I think Spencer Turnbull's kind of taken over as the top guy in that rotation, and I just don't think you can trust Boyd. Really don't. And it sucks because a lot of people wasted a pretty decent draft pick on Boyd, probably your SP2 or SP3 for most fantasy teams, but I just don't think that we're going to get good production out of Boyd this year. So don't like Boyd. I agree with you there. And then the other guy, I'm going to hit upon a Met now. We're going to talk about relievers here shortly, but Edwin Diaz just looks lost out there. And it sounds like he most likely has lost that closer's gig for the time being. He can't pitch in New York. He's got to go. He has to go. It's brutal right now. He just looks lost out there. He's leaving pitches over the heart of the plate. He's leaving it up. Just looks lost out there. And he's making excuses, and you don't want to see it. And I think Mets brass has kind of come to terms with him maybe not being the closer. So expect him to lose some save opportunities. I would expect maybe Seth Lugo to kind of step in a couple of times a week, maybe Familia as well. We'll see what they end up doing. But Edwin Diaz has been quite the train wreck. And feel bad for people that invested a decent pick in him.
Yeah, it was actually Seth Lugo who came in the bottom of the eighth inning to try to get a finish off the eighth. And who knows, maybe he goes out back out there for the ninth. But he just gave up the go-ahead runs to Atlanta. So I just hate to see that because I love Lugo. I have him everywhere.
Yeah, innings eater. But I mean, honestly, before we go on to relief pitchers, what a mess though, like baseball and fantasy baseball is right now. Like, it's Friday, and just for weekly purposes, guys like Aaron Nola, Jack Flaherty aren't going to be pitching this week. And I mean, guys drafted Flaherty in the first and second round, and Nola was a fourth or fifth round pick. And if you don't get those starts in weeks that, like, if you're playing head to head, That's, I mean, that destroys you with all, even with Villar too. Like, you didn't play, he hasn't played for a week almost. Yeah. And that's your stolen bags right there down the drain.
It's rough, man. I mean, steals and saves have just, I mean, the closers are just, Ken Giles goes down. Aroldis Chapman gets COVID, doesn't start the season. You know, Craig Kimbrell is toast. Brad Hand looks toast. Man, it's, and then you got half these teams who don't even know who they're going to throw out there in the ninth inning. You know, it's just been crazy, man.
God, I still think just by watching the NBA and how organized and how they like keep everyone in that bubble, how great that is. And you can see it on TV. Guys are still happy. Guys are having fun. But baseball, it's just like, what is everybody doing? Like, what do these players do after the game? Like, how does the entire, it's just such a mess.
The bubble idea, it seems like a good idea when you're talking about it, but I just don't know logistically how it would have worked. They're originally talking about Florida and Arizona. You can't put those people in a bubble right now. Can't put the players in a bubble in Florida right now. It's a hot spot. You can't go there. Arizona, you're looking at temperatures over 100 degrees every day. That would be brutal when there's only one dome stadium to play in out there. It just doesn't seem ideal. I don't know if the accommodations would have been able to have been made, especially when you got a roster of 30 players plus staff. I mean, the NBA is only what, like 15?
It's about 30 players, Max. It's about 15 players, but you got coaches and stuff. And right now they're in Orlando, Florida, playing at the Disney complexes. So they're right in the middle of it all.
Yeah, it just seems like it would be a good idea. I just don't know if it actually really would have been physically possible to make that happen. But at this point, it's way too late. Like, people saying, let's do the bubble idea now. Let's switch things up. Like, it's way too late in the game to do this now. No chance of that happening. Too many logistical nightmares that are going to happen. No. So, I mean, we'll see if we can finish off the season. But yeah, there's teams out there. You got the Nats, the Marlins, Brewers, Cardinals, and even your Twins. Like, the next few days are going to be very important for the season. Like, what if, because the Cardinals were in Minnesota when they tested positive, I mean, maybe something trickled over to Minnesota. I mean, if that's the case, then the season is done. We'll see what happens here this coming few days here, but it's not good. This looks very bad for our sport right now.
Yeah, it's just, there's our pod rant of the day. Sorry, George. me and Zach just been talking, and it's almost like getting to where it's just, you get burnt out, you know. It's just like, you can't just have anything normal.
I mean, it's discouraging, you know. We had been waiting like, what, 9 months for baseball, and we all do this prep and we're waiting, and there's only so much we could look into. Now here we are, and it's like, we're dealing with all this now. And it's like, could all be for nothing, because season could just be over, you know, come Monday.
Yeah, the time everyone puts into this, and then it's just all washed down the drain. But diving into some relief pitchers to grab in the closer carousel, a couple guys that I kind of have an eye on, they're kind of been working as more long inning roles, but Drew Pomeranz has, I believe he stole the save. And he's been working a lot of innings early this season, so I think keep an eye on him. I know I have him owned in a bunch of leagues, and just throw him in that relief spot. He gets you strikeouts, and he can pick up a save or two and some holds if you play in that type of league. And also, Sergio Romo, I think the Twins, what they're going to end up doing is matchup base, because he came in over Taylor Rogers the other day and got that save, but Rogers bounced back the next night and got the save. So I think that'll be kind of a matchup based. And then Buck Farmer, I think, is the next guy up in Detroit, if Detroit really wants to win the AL Central and Joe Jimenez gets rocked around. I think Buck Farmer steps up there. Who are your guys, George?
Yeah, Drew Pomeranz is a good call, because, I mean, he's been lights out. Yates and Pagan have been a little bit slow to start, but yeah, Pomeranz is a really good call. Now, I mean, I think Nick Birdie right now, he's got the job in Pittsburgh with Keone Kella out, but I think that Birdie can hold on to that job. He's looked great. And I really do think that he can just hold on to that job. So if he's still out there, I'd be snatching up Nick Birdie, for sure. A couple other guys, I mean, maybe Pedro Strop in Cincinnati, Jeremy Jeffress. I mentioned Craig Kimbrell you know, has not looked good at all. Jeremy Jeffress came in and stole a save. So he might be one to keep an eye on if Kimbrell's struggles continue. And then, yeah, we mentioned Seth Lugo. I, Edwin Diaz does, he, I think he, I read that today that he actually wants to pitch more, you know, because I think he kind of blamed his struggles on, you know, having too many days off in between his outings. So if that's the case, if they're open to just throwing him out there on, you know, more occasions, then we could just see that ninth inning, you know, save opportunity open up. And, you know, we mentioned Lugo, Betances, Jiris Familia is another guy to keep an eye on. So who knows if the Mets, you know, stick with one guy. I would hope that they do, but it could just be a committee there as well.
He happens up in New York. That'll be interesting. But Zach, I'm going to be surprised at the name you're going to mention. I don't think anyone knows what's coming here.
I'm just watching these Mets right now. And it's just, my hopes and dreams are falling apart. Edwin Diaz, yeah, like what you were saying, George, he hadn't pitched in 5 days. He was blaming it on that. Give me a break. Right. Guy pitches every other day and he still can't get the job done. So I'm not buying any of that. But Seth Lugo, like you said, Familia, Betances could get some run. Sneaky guy, Drew Smith. I don't think he's going to get save opportunities, but they might bring him into a more high leverage role. So I'm just going to get my Mets talk out of the way. Anyway, the guy that I absolutely love, guy in Cleveland, James Karinchak. I think Brad Hand has seen better days, velocity down. He's had two rough outings so far. Karinchak just looks overpowering right now. He just looks like the best reliever on this team. He looks like one of the best relievers in the game right now. He had a six pitch save for his first career save the other night. Just looked fantastic between his fastball. He's got a very unorthodox delivery, very deceptive coming in for hitters. So between that, the velocity, he's throwing high 90s, and he's just got a ridiculous 12-6 curveball. It's hard for hitters to pick up. I think this guy is going to be a top five reliever for years to come. And we could possibly see that as early as this year. So if Karinchak is available in any of your leagues, I highly recommend running to the waiver wire and grabbing him, because I would think that this job is going to be his in maybe another week or two. I think Brad Hand I think that experiment is over. A six pitch save yesterday. It was just 1-2-3. Like, Brad Hand does not do that. He makes you sweat it out each time.
I love that call, man. Karinchak, and the Indians are a team that, I mean, they're not going to go committee. I mean, Karinchak, if he's their guy, he's their guy. Mm-hmm. You know, so I love that Karinchak call.
Yeah, I think he's going to be one of the best relievers for years to come here. Another guy, I had so much stock in Ian Kennedy this offseason. For some reason, I don't know why, I was just buying into that, and he's pitching like the sixth and seventh inning right now. Seems like Trevor Rosenthal has kind of taken over in the ninth. I know he's pitching in the eighth inning right now for the Royals. I think he might be coming back out for the ninth. They're actually losing right now, so maybe not. But Rosenthal seems like a Mike Matheny guy, and he looks like he might be the guy to get saves. But I don't know, the Royals over there, they've got a few arms that they keep trotting out there in key situations, so it might be tough to tell what they're gonna do. But then the other situation, we were talking about it before, the Tampa Bay Rays, Oliver Drake got two saves, and then he did not get the save opportunity the other night. It was somebody else. I don't remember exactly who it was, but yeah, they might be going with a committee, but Drake seemed like the guy early on in the season here, first few games, that was getting the opportunities. But I don't know, George, what do you think is going to happen with that Tampa Bay Rays situation? There's just so many names, it's hard to tell. Is it going to be like that the whole season, you think?
Yeah, I think it could be like that the whole season. I mean, we did see Oliver Drake get the first two opportunities, and then they put him out there in the sixth, and I think he ended up actually blowing that save. Who knows if they were saving Nick Anderson for the eighth or ninth? I mean, I think you're probably going to see a mix of, you know, who knows if Diego Castillo comes back, you know, into that. I think it's just going to be a mix and match kind of thing. And who knows? It honestly, like, it's just such a crapshoot. I think Castillo and Drake and Anderson and I mean, they can all on any given night be used in any one of those, you know, situations. So,
yeah,
I mean, hopefully we'll see if Nick Anderson can. I mean, he's, you know, theoretically we would expect him to have the better ratio. So, I mean, he, I think, would still be the guy to own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were talking preseason here. Not, I say preseason. It's when this whole break was going on with the pandemic. But we've been kind of hyping up the idea of taking like top relievers pretty early because it was going to be a crapshoot. And it has been exactly that. It's been a crapshoot. But even some of these top relievers, like we saw your buddy over there at the Twins, Taylor Rogers, he hadn't pitched in a couple of days. He hadn't pitched at all, actually. And mm-hmm. the first save opportunity was a Sergio Romo save just because of the lineup that they were facing in the ninth inning. So I think with the added roster spots, now that it's a 30-man roster, I think maybe these bullpens have some more weapons now and they're playing the matchups a little bit more rather than just the conventional ninth inning closer type role. So it's going to be very tough to kind of figure out who's getting saves. It's going to be a crapshoot all season long. It's been a week and it's a huge headache for fantasy owners all over the place here. So we'll see. But yeah, it hasn't been fun so far. I'll tell you that much.
Going to headaches. Who thought? I mean, literally the San Diego Padres team pretty much leads the league in steals. Tommy Pham's got four. Tatis and Profar got two apiece. So. I mean, it's just nuts out there. And Hernandez is second overall in Yahoo.
As of today, I don't think Trey Turner or Adalberto Mondesi even had a stolen base yet. Like it's very odd what's going on right now. Not what you would expect.
Yeah, Alberto. I mean, he can't even get on base. That's his problem. It's kind of like with Malik Smith too. The guys just can't even get on base to steal. So it's like, man, it's just rough. So who are some guys that are 20% owned? We're going to go off Yahoo here. 20% owned or less in leagues that you've been keeping an eye on and you're just waiting to pick up or people should pick up in their leagues. My first guy here is the brother of the Corey Seager, Kyle Seager. He's kind of been kind of like the staple in Seattle for the past 10 years, kind of holds down third base for him, does an excellent job, and he's kind of started the season off pretty hot here, and he's ranked 34th in Yahoo, has a home run, couple RBIs, and he's batting fourth in that lineup that, I mean, Kyle Lewis is batting third, he's batting fourth, and he looks great. Who are guys that you have, George?
Yeah, Kyle Seager, I mean, you kind of forget how consistent he was before, you know?
Yeah.
sticking there with Seattle, Shed Long, you know, he's got two steals himself, actually so far.
Mm-hmm.
And that Seattle team, actually, you know, I kind of thought that they would, you know, be a team that you can extract some sneaky fantasy value from, and that might be one of the, you know, more fun teams to watch with, you know, them rolling out the young guys. You know, you see Kyle Lewis kind of taking off. So Shed Long is another one. He hit his first home run the other day. So him, and then Nick Birdie is still under 20% owned, which I mentioned, you know, previously. And then JP Crawford too. He's also got two steals. Mm-hmm. So that Seattle team is pretty interesting. Victor Caratini, if you need a catcher, he's been playing really consistently. I think he's only gotten like 1 or 2 days off so far. They've been keeping Caratini's bat in the lineup, whether it's catcher or DH. So he could be like a sneaky ad, like in a points league, if you want that volume at catcher. Caratini is there. And yeah, I think that's all I'm seeing right now.
I like that Caratini one. That's a sneaky one there, especially playing that shallow catcher position. Very good. Zach, who are your guys? I know Karinchak, I just looked. He's 23% owned in Yahoo, so that can't be
qualifying. No, Caratini was a good call, though. He's rotating between catcher and DH, so he's getting a lot of time there. Another guy who I have on a few teams and interesting name to watch right now, Cameron Maybin was just placed on the IL, so I think Victor Reyes is going to get some more runtime out in the outfield. He's kind of been the fourth man, so I think he's probably going to see some time. I mean, it was bound to happen for Maybin to hit the IL or something. I mean, there was no way he was going to keep that job all season long. So Victor Reyes, an intriguing name to watch. He's actually off to a pretty good start right now, and my favorite thing about him is he's going to contribute in the stolen base department. He already has a couple bags right now. So he is definitely an intriguing name to watch. He just needs to get on base with a lot of these stolen base guys. The problem is getting on base right now. He's getting on base 38% of the time. So he's looking good. Granted, it's a small sample size, but he does have a power speed combo that a lot of players do not have. So Victor Reyes, a name to watch. And then another kind of similar profile, Bradley Zimmer. He kind of fell off the map the past few years. Right now in Yahoo, I'm pretty surprised by this number. It's only 1% owned. I know on like Fantrax and stuff, he's definitely a little bit deeper owned. He's been getting picked up quite a bit. But another power speed guy, he's been out the past like 2 years. He's just been hurt. And he finally seems healthy. And I think the Indians just really like him in center field. I think this is big trouble for Oscar Mercado. I think Mercado's been batting like ninth pretty much every game. And he was going way too early, in my opinion, in fantasy drafts just because of his speed. But he just doesn't get on base. So it really is not going to help you if he can't steal you bags because he can't get to first. So I think Zimmer is he's a great defensive center fielder. I think that's going to keep him in the lineup more often than not. And he's made some swing changes, looks a lot better at the plate. And like I was saying with Reyes, I think we could see a power speed combo from Bradley Zimmer that could definitely benefit from, especially in roto leagues for both of these guys. So Victor Reyes and Bradley Zimmer, if you're looking for outfield help and some stolen bags.
Yeah, that's good ones. Bradley Zimmer with the return. So last but not least, we're going to talk about some prospects. I know Madrigal made his debut tonight, and he's currently 0-3. But one guy I want to highlight that me and Jordan, when we were sitting here watching the opening games, the Twins played the White Sox. Luis Robert is going to be the next like Mike Trout type player in the MLB, I think. I mean, God, that guy is unbelievable. Defensively, he can move. He has speed. And every time he hits the baseball, it is hard. Like, it just cracks. It's not just like these light grounders to the trickles to the outfield or anything up the middle. It cracks. And I know Eloy said that he is going to be like the next Mike Trout of baseball. But I think with Eloy and him, that's going to be the next best 1-2 punch for years and years to come. And I think they'll be carrying the White Sox to probably a couple championships if they stay together.
I think I saw a video where just like a routine fly ball to right field to Eloy. And I think Luis Robert just sprinted all the way over from center field, almost like a scene out of Bad News Bears where Kelly Leak just runs over and just takes everything away from the other outfielders. I couldn't believe that. But yeah, I mean, he looks great so far. As long as he can keep the strikeouts in check, I mean, I think you're looking at a superstar player. I didn't expect it to maybe come this year, but maybe it will. We'll see. What do you think about Luis Robert so far, George?
Yeah, I mean, he's got all the potential in the world, man. Just, yeah, I know, Zach, you and I, we teamed up for an expert dynasty league, and we got Robert there. So we're excited to see him, see his growth. So yeah, definitely exciting. Him and Eloy for sure could definitely carry that White Sox team for years.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch. Sucks for the Twins in the AL Central. So the last little part, we're going to talk about like prospects that actually I'm surprised teams are even calling some of these guys up, like Madrigal. I was shocked because Garcia, he smoked the Twins in that season opener who's currently their second baseman on that team. But the one guy I have is, I know we were talking about him, I believe, a couple days ago, Spencer Howard with the Phillies. I think he might slide into that number five spot, take that over from Vince Velasquez. But yeah, that's my prospect that I think will make impact. Madrigal, I think that might be, he might play one day, next day he'll be on the bench because Garcia really has been playing good. George, who are your prospects that you've kind of been keeping an eye on?
Yeah, so Howard is a good call. I know Dalton Varsho just got called up. So, I mean, anytime a top catching prospect comes up, he's definitely worth taking a look at. I know Joey Bart, it was rumored that, you know, his call-up would be imminent, and then it wasn't imminent. So we'll see. And I know he's been taking, getting some work in at first base. So maybe when he does come up, he can, you know, if his bat sticks in the lineup, Bart will definitely be interesting. But Dylan Carlson, we could see him possibly next week come up. So definitely love Dylan Carlson, and hopefully he gets consistent playing time there with St. Louis. And then Casey Mize, you know, the guys in Detroit, you know, Mize and Manning, definitely interesting. And Alec Bohm in Philadelphia.
Yeah, those are all good ones. I believe Manning, I heard like some, I don't know if it was like just Twitter randomness or rumors, but he could get a call if the Tigers keep playing like they are. I don't know if anyone, did you guys see that at all with Matt Manning?
I think I did see that somewhere, yeah.
Yep. It sounds like he might be the first one out of the trio to get the call. So we'll see. But there's, I mean, if the Tigers, there's two teams that are really intriguing me here. The Tigers with their three pitching prospects. I mean, I'm not expecting the Tigers to really go and win the championship this year. But with expanded playoffs, if they're playing well early, I think we could see maybe Mize or Manning or both of them. Even Skubal, we could see them come up. And yeah, I mean, that could be a huge boost to a young team. So those three are names to watch. I do think that Dylan Carlson will probably be up next week. I think he's going to be a huge boost because that St. Louis outfield just looks atrocious right now. They can't hit anything. So they need some type of spark over there. I think Gavin Lux is probably going to be back sooner than later, even though he's probably not going to get full playing time, even though if he's on the big league club, he really should be playing every day. There's just like too many options out there in LA. Two other names just to watch for this season. I think Mackenzie Gore will probably make an appearance, whether it's in the pen or if they do call him up to be a starter, especially if San Diego continues to play hot. I really think if these young teams come out hot like some of them have and they stay like that for maybe a month, I think we're going to see some of these top prospects come up. I think they're going to try and win in this 60-game sprint if we still have the 60-game sprint in a couple of weeks. So I think Mackenzie Gore could be a name to watch out there, definitely somebody to kind of keep an eye on in fantasy leagues if he's still there. And another guy, it's tough for me to talk about this guy, but Jared Kelenic.
I knew that was coming.
The Mariners really have been aggressive with their prospects. They aren't shy in calling up some of these guys. We've seen the Mariners come off hot the past few seasons, and they just fizzle out. If they can go on a run early, I mean, Kelenic is... I don't even know what he's doing right now. I think he's just playing in intra-squad games in AAA or whatever, but he's just hitting home runs like every day. Like, what's the point of having him do that down there? Like, why not come up and do that with the big league club here? All it's going to take is an injury just an injury, or if he just continues to perform the way he is, I think he's going to play his way into this lineup at some point. It may not be very quick. We might be maybe a couple weeks to a month away, but I think we see him this season, and I think he's going to be a superstar, this kid.
Yeah, I would love to see Jared Kelenic up. I have him down as someone to watch, like for September, him and Joe Adell and Joey Bart. Would love to see Kelenic, though. I mean, if they already have the extra year of control, and I mean, Seattle's a team who, I mean, for sure, next year Kelenic will be up, along with guys like George Kirby, Logan Gilbert. So, I mean, might as well get him that MLB experience now, right? I would love to see him up for sure.
Yeah, it would be good to see a guy like that up. Before we let you go, George, one guy I want to talk to about that. When I was watching the opening game with the Giants and Dodgers, and I saw him roll out there again and just thought, what in the world are the Giants doing with Pablo Sandoval still? What is going on with that relationship out there? Is it just, is he that good in the community or something that he's still there? What do they see in him?
Oh, man, I don't see the point because, I mean, we don't even have fans to go to the game. You know, that's the whole thing. I think it was pretty much like, we need bodies right now. We're tanking this year. They fully know what's going on. You know, they have a plan, and we just need bodies. So might as well bring in guys who are going to have like some, you know, sentimental value for the fans to come and watch, like Hunter Pence and Pablo Sandoval. And so I think, you know, they just brought him back as a body to just kind of throw out there and fill out a lineup, you know, because they have to.
Yeah, he was batting third, I think, too, on opening night. And I'm just like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
I think he's eating all the other bodies out there.
Yeah, he's gained some weight, but he still has a World Series, so he can rub that in everybody else's face, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I will. Few. Yeah, I will forever remember Pablo for hitting 3 home runs off Justin Verlander in the 2012 World Series against Detroit, man.
I always awesome. Give George crap for this, but, you know, it must be nice to have 3 world championships in the past few years. It really must be nice. I don't know the feeling, and I hate it. And it just makes me miserable because I don't know what it's like to win. So it must be nice, George, to have those memories.
Yeah, no, definitely holding on to that because who knows when the next time will come around. But it's been good decade for sure. I can't complain.
Yeah, it really was. Do you guys got anything else for anyone tonight?
No, it's good to get on and talk baseball like we were saying before. I mean, hopefully the season can be played out here. Hopefully this isn't our last time talking with you guys during the season. Hopefully they can figure some of these logistics out with the testing and whatnot. But yeah, it's been a wild week of baseball already here. I think we all just want to see this season conclude. And yeah, I mean, we've just missed baseball so much. So it'll be nice to get the season going. And yeah, but no, George, thanks for joining us. I mean, me and George, we've been doing this for over a year now, me and George with Bases Loaded. And it's weird talking to George on another podcast, but it's always easy just talking baseball with George.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Just love hanging out and talking baseball. It's been fun. And hopefully, like you said, we could do it again. And I just appreciate you guys having me on today.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. I mean, I feel like we should have you on a while ago, but how can everyone follow your stuff on Twitter and what you're doing?
Yeah, so you can follow me personally on Twitter at @Roto_Nino. And yeah, most of my work is actually over at FantraxHQ.com, writing a weekly bullpen report there, updating the closer rankings every Tuesday. Then I've also got the Roto Ranks Fantasy Baseball Podcast that I'm doing over at RotoRanks.com. We got some stuff coming out there. And then, of course, you can listen to me with Zach over at the Bases Loaded Podcast with him and Mike Curlin.
Sounds good. Yeah, thanks for joining us again, and keep up the good work. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, this was good. I'll talk to you guys soon.